إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. وبعد, my dear brothers and sisters, we were talking about building a relationship with the Quran al-Kareem, and yesterday we started on talking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introducing himself. But before continuing with that, I just want to mention something else, which is the surah that Marana recited, may Allah bless him, Surah Al-Mursalat. This was the last surah that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited in Salah before he passed away. On the Thursday in Salatul Maghrib, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited this entire surah in the first rakat. And this also shows us, this is of course one of the dalail that you can actually read long surahs in Maghrib. But apart from that, these are things of the seerah which bring us close to the Quran. So the entire Quran is the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We love the entire kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but some things are special because of their associations. And this is one of those surahs which is very special, because this is the last surah that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam recited. He passed away on Monday, the following Monday. This was what he recited on Thursday evening for Salatul Maghrib. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as I mentioned yesterday, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduced himself in the Quran in two ways. One is where he mentioned his glory and majesty in certain ayat. For example, as I mentioned yesterday, Ayat al-Kursi, the ayat of Surah al-Hashr, Surah al-Ikhlas, and so on, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke directly and he mentioned about his glory and majesty and his asma wa sifat, his names and attributes. In other places in the Quran, the beginning of many of the surah of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's glory and majesty is mentioned. Starting from Surah Al-Fatiha itself, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. So it begins with the glory and majesty, thanks and awe of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu. The second way in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduced himself was where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala invited the reader of the Quran to look around himself and or herself and recognize the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala both within ourselves, inside our bodies, as well as in the universe around us, in the world around us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this as a challenge and as a promise, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, سَنُورِهِمْ آيَاتِنَا فِي الْآفَاقِ وَفِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ لَهُمْ أَنَّهُ الْحَقِّ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that we will show them our ayat, we will show them our signs, both within themselves as well as in the world surrounding them, until it becomes clear to them that this is haqq, that this kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the truth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala invited us to look at our world itself, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ سَمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتٍ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that those who have intelligence, Allah is talking about the ability to assimilate information and come to intelligent conclusions. Everyone and everything sees, anything which has eyes will see. But recognition is not just a matter of seeing. The eye is like a camera. It just picks a picture. The eye doesn't recognize. I mean, you can be the camera, you can be taking a close-up of a lion, and until you become part of the lion, the camera does not recognize that. The fact that there is danger, the fact that this lion is charging, so you will get a fantastic close-up video of a lion charging, which will then come on YouTube after your funeral, because the lion would have eaten you by then. So the point is, the camera does not recognize. So therefore, just looking at things without recognizing, and this is the ibrat we have to see, because wallahi, because the people who see nature closest today are people who do not recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Many of them are atheists. They see nature so close up, but they do not recognize the Creator in the creation. This is what Allah is saying. Ulil albab. Allah said, these are people, signs for whom? Not for everyone. Signs for people of intelligence, signs for people who can reflect, signs for people who can think. And what did Allah mention? Allah mentioned, one, He mentioned the creation itself. So every little bit of creation, whatever it is, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ سَمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, whatever is in the heavens and the earth, وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ, and in the alternation of the day and the night. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not mention the rising of the sun and the setting of the sun, because the sun does not rise and the sun does not set. The sun appears to rise and the sun appears to set because of the motion of the earth, because of the rotation of the earth around its own axis. And the reason why the sun rises in the east and everything else also rises in the east is because the earth rotates in an easterly direction. So when we say the sun will rise in the west, what's going to happen? The rotation of the earth will change. This is one of the signs of the last day. So the earth has to come to a stop and turn around. So right now the earth rotates in an easterly direction. Now the earth also revolves around the sun. So it rotates on its own axis and then it rotates around the sun with the sun as the axis. And the entire solar system rotates on its own axis and it rotates with the galaxy, in the Milky Way, the center of that as an axis. And the Milky Way itself rotates on its own axis. I mean, just think about this, what kind of an amazing system it is, which is things are rotating. And what is the speed? The speed of rotation of the earth at the equator, which is the center of the earth, is 1,000 miles an hour. The earth is rotating at a speed which is faster than the fastest passenger plane that you can find. Because all passenger aircraft go at around 0.7, 0.8 Mach, which is around, if you look at ground speeds, then that's around maybe 750, 800 kilometers an hour, maybe 900 kilometers an hour. The earth is revolving at 1600 kilometers an hour, 1000 miles an hour. But at the same time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us certain senses and He has not given us certain senses. And the sense that Allah has not given human beings, and generally animals and so on, is the sense of absolute speed. So we cannot sense speed. We see speed only in relation to other things. For example, if you're sitting in a train and the train moves, you don't know that if you are not looking at something outside the train. So those of us who have traveled in trains, it seems as if the platform is moving. And you know the platform is concrete, it's not going anywhere. Right? That's the reason why if you are driving a good car on a good road, then you don't sense the speed. That you can be doing 120, 130, 140 kilometers an hour. It seems as if you are going very slowly because you cannot actually sense the speed. If you're looking straight out of the windscreen, you can't sense the speed. You have to look on the side to see how fast the stationary objects are moving. Right? Similarly, if you are sitting in a plane and you look out of the window, you cannot sense the speed. The plane is going at anything between 800 to 900 kilometers an hour, but you can't sense that. If you look at a plane landing, for example, or taking off, it seems to be floating very slowly. But you know and I know that unless it reaches a speed of about 200 kilometers an hour, it can't take off. I mean, that's the critical speed for takeoff. So the plane is going at 200 kilometers an hour, but it looks to you as if it is just floating, because we don't have this. Now, if we did have the senses to sense absolute speed, you wouldn't be able to stand. You would not be able to function at all. You would completely become utterly useless, because the speed of the earth will completely, you know, it'll fry your mind. I mean, it's so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by not giving us a particular sense, allows us to function. Second thing, what is the first thing that happens if you are sitting on a sphere which is spinning very fast? Centrifugal force, which does what? Throws you off. So if there was no gravity, nothing could exist on the earth, because anything which was not actually rooted into the earth would be thrown off long time. I mean, within seconds, everything would fly off into space and the earth would become just a spinning ball with nothing on it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us gravity. And how much gravity? If we had too little gravity, then still the same problem of centrifugal force. If you have too much gravity, you would not be able to move at all. You would be rooted to the earth. I mentioned this sometime, I think earlier. I remember watching a film about a prison. There was the whole I can't remember what the film was, but it was about a prison. And one of the things they did in this prison was, this prison had all walkways between the cells in this prison were made of metal mesh, steel mesh. And prisoners were made to wear boots with metal soles. So the first thing was that anytime they walked, there was a massive racket. I mean, it was a clang, clang, clang all the time. But the reason they did that was for crowd control in case of fights. Because what they would do is that if there was a fight and people started running, all the prison guards would do was throw a switch, and there was a very powerful electromagnet which would simply grab your feet and you are stuck to the floor. So you can't move. Because the mesh would get magnetized and it grabs the sole of your boots, and the boots are fitted onto the feet. You can't take them off. So it would grab the soles of the boots and you would be rooted to that place so you can't move. And I remember seeing this film and thinking that Rasulullah ﷺ said about the Day of Judgment that the feet of the son of Adam will not move from their place on the Day of Judgment until he answers four questions. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us signs. So now I'm saying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us these signs. So these are the signs around us. For people who? Ulil albab. People who reflect. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us a mind to do something about it. What other signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And I'm going to send this couple of clips along with this Fajr reminder. Umair will send it. I was recently watching a very short clip about the peregrine falcon. It's about the size of a crow. And it can, the eyesight Allah has given it, it's so sharp that it can see its prey over 1 kilometer away. Over 1 kilometer away. And the speed, a peregrine falcon, if it sees a dove or whatever, you know, pigeon, something, as which is prey, and most of its prey is bigger than the bird itself, it flies up into the sun and then it dives. And when it folds its wings and dives, it is doing 300 kilometers an hour. The fastest living creature on the face of the earth, 300 kilometers an hour. And at that speed, when it hits the bird, and it doesn't just hit the bird, because if it hits the bird, it will kill itself. It's just one claw, and it's dead. It's an amazing film. And when I'm watching the film, I'm thinking to myself, SubhanAllah, see the khudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then see the khudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who gave human beings the brain to design the lenses and cameras which can capture this, so that we can see it. Because without the lenses, peregrine falcons have been doing this from the day Allah created them, thousands of years. But we can only see it today thanks to the lenses and cameras. Without the lenses and cameras, you still can't see it. This is the meaning of reflecting on the Quran al-Kareem. And that's why Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawziyah rahmatullah said there are two kitabs of Allah. He said there is a closed book and an open book. He said the closed book meaning, not that closed, meaning it has to be open to read, is the Mus'haf, is the actual kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which we read, which also has ayat. And the other one are the ayatullah in the creation, the open book of Allah. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala began his kalam, the revelation, with Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. Allah said, read in the name of the one who created everything. Read what? Read that creation, the ayat. That's why I object to this English translation of verse. The meaning of verse is what? Sher. Ash'ar. Does the Quran have ash'ar or ayat? So how do you translate ayat as verse? Ayat are signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is one of the problems with crazy translations. People continue to use the same word. The moment you say sign, immediately you say signs point to something. Signs mean something. So the mind starts reflecting. A sign, oh, sign, what sign? What does the sign mean? I must understand the sign. But verse, yeah, nice verse. Ghalib ke bhi ashar hai, Iqbal ke bhi ashar hai, kisi ke bhi ashar hai. Na'udhu billah, ke Allah ke ashar hai. So how do you translate this ayah as verse? One of the many problems with English translation of the Quran, we have to understand this. Do not use these words. Do not use these words. There are no verses in the Quran. There are ayat in the Quran. So say signs in the Quran. And when you use the word ayah, the usual excuse that is given is, oh, you know, but I'm talking non-Muslims. If I say ayah, they don't understand. I say it is very good that they don't understand. Because when a man does not understand, he will ask you a question. And when he asks you the question, it opens the door for dawah for you. The moment you say ayah, he will say, hold on, well, what did you say ayah? What is ayah? Now it opens the door for you for dawah. If you say verse, he understands verse. He understands verse in his own way. So he thinks that when he is understanding verse, that is how you mean it. And so also with many other things. I'm not going into all that now, but many of these things, do use your own judgment and say that you will recognize and you will understand these in the way that they are meant to be understood. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us these signs of his. Enough for today for that, but inshallah maybe later, but think about this and say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is inviting us to recognize him Jalla Jalaluhu and to know him in these two ways, by specifically mentioning his glorious names and attributes and by pointing to his signs of his creation in the universe. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to recognize him and to worship him and to love him the way it is his right that he should be loved and he should be worshipped and he should be thanked. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahim.